We're going to do a normal message this morning, but right away at the beginning, I had an idea this morning. Come on up, Journey and Aspen. Give them a warm round of applause. So Aspen showed me about a week ago. She was in my office there, and last Sunday. And she was all excited. Aspen's got lots of ideas, and they're always doing cool things and working with the youth band and playing music and talking to people and whatever. So she was in my office on the computer. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "What did you say you were doing?"
"We're creating a blog."
A blog. Oh, well, they're building a website, creating a blog. And what would be the purpose of creating a blog?
We wanted to be able to inspire and encourage others and to also have ourselves grow more in Christ.
Oh, that's awesome. So I was up in Aspen's room the other day, and we were just talking, and it was just a classic daddy-daughter moment, and it was perfect, and there was violins playing in the background, and it was wonderful. And she said, "Dad, do you have a word for the year?" I'm like, "What do you mean, a word for the year?" She's like, "You know, just like a word for the year." I said, "I don't." She said, "Have you ever?" I said, "Not unless it was destruction or something like that, but you know, no, I really haven't." So what did you say?
My word for this year was inspire.
Inspire. So I asked her, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And you said?
I want to take that word and figure out what it means through the course of the year.
Yeah. To inspire people. Yep. Yep, to use your relationship with God. And so you guys started this, had this idea. Who had the idea to start a blog?
I did.
Okay. And you're like, "Who could I get into mischief with?" I know, Journey. Journey, are you having second thoughts now?
No, actually not.
No, actually not. I have not done anything to dissuade her from going forward with this project. And so you thought you could jump aboard. How come?
I don't know. I guess we were just talking like one day and we just, like, it wasn't like we were planning it. It was just like we just said, "Hey, what if we started a blog?" And then she went and created it.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know, like, personally know Aspen or Journey well or have had much interaction with them. But I love when, and because this fits with what the message is going to be in just a little bit. I love when God ideas and the Holy Spirit's leading comes out of things that are already in us. Like you heard, we didn't really have the idea to start a blog. We just were talking about how we could inspire people. Like, and that was just in them to do because that's who they are. Like if you know them, that's who they are already. And so last night, what inspired all this now was last night, Aspen said, "You have to read this," or told Marnie, "You have to read this post that Journey's going to put on there." Because the website's not up yet, correct? But hopefully hopefully by tomorrow it's going to be up. So we don't have an address to show you or whatever. But I just love that. I know what I was doing at 15 and 16. Inspiring people was not, it was not on the list. No. And I thought, how amazing. And why would you not want to showcase something like this? Why would you not want to let people know that something amazing and cool like this is going on in our lives? And so I read the post that Journey wrote. And so I think Aspen's going to put one on there or whatever when they get started. But one of the very first or second posts that's going to be on there is this one that Journey has already written. And so we messaged her last night. I said, "Journey, would you read that in church today?" So this is, it's not up yet, but this, when the website goes live, this is one of the posts that's going to be on the website. So take it away, Journey. We're all going to pretend that we're sitting at our computers reading your blog, and your voice is going to be in our head.
All right, so this, I guess I got inspired to write this because of the song "Living Hope" by Phil Wickham, and I love that song. So, was last year a tough year? I know that in a lot of ways, all of the little and big disappointments throughout the year can really wear us down. But is that what we were made for? To be wore down, defeated, and hopeless? No, of course not. Because of Jesus, we don't have to live in defeat. I know that dissatisfaction with all the things we try to use to make us happy can leave us feeling hopeless and alone. But you're not alone. God is the only one who can give you and I a hope that lasts. Do you know why the only hope that can be found is in Jesus? because when Jesus rose from the grave, he became our living hope. So hope is alive. Hope is alive in you through Jesus. Now we have a new year in front of us. Now is a time for hope. And I pray that each and every one of us remember this hope, that we never lose the wonder, awe, and joy of living every moment in the presence of the Lord through the Holy Spirit that is within us. I pray that we never take his presence for granted, and through his presence we remember our courage and strength comes from Jesus, who is our living hope. Having hope is so important because in order for our hearts to receive inspiration, we need to have hope in our hearts. Your past, your mistakes, and your struggles cannot contain you because those things are not who you are. His mercies are new every day. Isaiah 43:18 says, "Forget about the things that happened in the past. Do not keep thinking about them. I am about to do something new. It is beginning to happen even now. Do you see it coming? I'm going to make a way for you to go through the desert. I will make streams of water in the dry and empty land." This year, instead of making goals that can be unrealistic and make you feel discouraged by lack of progress, I want to inspire you to determine to focus on Jesus and what he's doing now, even when you can't see what that is yet. Let's believe that he will always make a way. Amen. Happy New Year, my friends.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Wasn't that incredible? I just read that with my jaw hanging open. I'm like, wow. These are our kids writing this stuff? Talking about the Holy Spirit, we have been for quite a while now. Thank you guys for being so diligent. I've heard lots of great comments, lots of great questions. And today we are going to be talking about, everyone, hold your breath, the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You knew we had to end up here sometime. Everyone should be getting a little bit nervous right now. I'm just kidding. But I was thinking about this, and I thought we have a really unique church here because we love each other, and we have different backgrounds, and we put a lot of value in this church on people's experience with God and their experience in the scriptures and what they've gleaned from that, and I think that's really valuable and really important. And we as a church have doctrines that we believe in, and we interpret the Bible in certain passages this way or that way, and we do have doctrinal statements, but we also make a lot of room for what Matt Chandler calls the open hand and the closed fist of the gospel. The closed fist is the things that are absolutely non-negotiable. Is Jesus the Son of God? Yes. Was he born of a virgin? Yes. Is he part of the Trinity? Yes. Like there's a number of things that these things are never up for debate. And we agree with that. We're in this church. There's a half a dozen, I don't know, might be 10, whatever. But then there's a lot of things that are in the open hand. Well, is it a literal 1,000 years when Jesus comes back? Is it pre-trib or post-trib? Or, do you baptize people when they have a pacifier in their mouth or when they're, older? Or like, there's a lot of things that we can have some really strong opinions on, but we treat them with a lot of grace. And we have great discussions about them. And we have doctrinal statements for even some of the open hand stuff for this church, what this church believes. So I'm not saying that we don't believe anything or whatever, but I'm saying that we also have a lot of grace for that, where if you've come from a different background or if you've got a different take on those scriptures, we want to have great conversations about that. And we want to walk arm in arm together as we're serving Christ, because that's what we want to major on, the major things. It's about dead people coming to life. It's about people walking into a headlong encounter with the grace and goodness of God. And so we keep the closed fist, we protect those things, but we want to be really gracious with the open hand things. And so there is a really intense category in the open hand, and it's the gifts of the Spirit. And so I think some of you that have come from a tradition where there maybe hasn't been a lot of the expression of the gifts of the Spirit might be getting a little nervous right now. Some of you, your nervousness is coming. Some of you that had a more Pentecostal upbringing, I'm going to share some things that might not fit exactly with in the Pentecostal tradition. We love to really divide things up very clearly. These are power gifts and these are the, you know, whatever. And we like to really, and I don't mind you doing that, but I don't know if I'm 100% in all of those classifications. We're just going to look at the Word of God. And so some of you really hardcore Pentecostals are going to be like, what is he talking about? I hope you don't say it like that. Because I think there's a lot of room for us today to just take a breath and just enjoy what the Holy Spirit wants to do. One thing that we emphatically believe is that the Holy Spirit is still doing his work today. Whatever that looks like, he's still living and active and moving in our lives and doing his work. So when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, we'll call them, there's some questions that we want to answer. I don't think we're going to get to all of these today. I know we won't. But when it comes to spiritual gifts, what are they? What are spiritual gifts? We're just going to run through some scriptures. There's a few passages that talk about them. And this is not going to be an in-depth. So if you're worried that you're going to have 15 pages of notes or whatever, this isn't going to be like a classroom setting where we're going through every single one. It's not going to be that heavy and deep. But we're just doing it. We're doing a flyby. Okay? We're doing the 30,000 view. Hey, look, it's the gifts down there. Like, you know what I mean? We're going to see what the Word of God has to say about them and maybe some experiential things. But the second question, who can have them? Okay, are these gifts just because no matter what church tradition you're from, there's lots of different views on all of these things. Can only pastors have the gifts? Is it for special gift people? Can they only have the gifts? Like, who can have the gifts of the Spirit? If I can have them, how do I get them? And kind of a really practical one, how does this thing even work? Like what are we even talking about here? And then finally, what's their purpose? And there may be some more other questions in, but that's the set of questions, at least mentally, that we're starting with as we're going to walk through this probably couple week deal on just talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are they? All right, we're going to dive right into our very first question today. What are the gifts of the Spirit? The Greek word for gift, drum roll please. The Greek word for the gifts of the Spirit are charisma. Does anybody know what kind of word comes from that we might use today? So we are, and by full admission and full embracing, a charismatic church. We're a church that believes in, that's where that word comes from. That's not how you say it, charismatic. So I've had people that have been in this church for a while that have asked me, what is a Pentecostal church? Like, sometimes we take for granted that all of us know exactly what we're talking about, and now you've been sitting with me for a number of months of teaching. I don't like to make those assumptions. I just, like, sometimes that means we have to go slower, but I like us all to be on the same page. So when we say charismatic church, that's where that word comes from. It means that we put a lot of emphasis on the charisma, the gifts, the working of the Holy Spirit. And I love how the Holy Spirit led us in this morning. That wasn't scripted for God to talk about the Word of God having preeminence, but also the moving of the Spirit to have and also an expression in our lives. And without both of those, we're not going to be fully alive as a church. That if we have one, we're going to get off kilter. If we have the other, we're going to be dried up. Okay? And so God desires for those two things to work together. The revealed Word of God, the primary way that God speaks to us, where we can see truth, you know, and just let that be applied to our life. But also the moving of the Holy Spirit. If you think of it like this, this is not the totality of it, but this is just one portion and one way to think about it. Think about it as the truth of God's word. God's word is often the substance. It's what we're talking about. It's the revelation of God, and the gifts of the Spirit oftentimes are the application of it. And that's not all they are. That's a really narrow definition, but that's not all they are. But it's It's these interactions with God and us, and with God through us interacting with other people, that helps take that word and deposit it in other people, or pull something out, or we'll go through the list and you'll see all the different ways. But it's that application of God's word comes often through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the word is the substance, but sometimes if that's all we have, it can still hold its own, but it's missing a lot of the life of the expression of the Holy Spirit and the softening of my heart. So charisma is the Greek word for gift. One guy said this: it's the gifts of the Spirit are gracious endowments leading to miraculous results. I don't have the source for that. Gracious endowments, meaning grace gifts, you know, an endowment is a gift or a trust, a blessing. Gracious endowments leading to miraculous results. And if you just want to simplify the gifts of the Spirit, and some of you are going to be surprised when we start looking at the list of the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to be like, wait a minute, you said gifts of the Spirit. That's not in the list. That's your Pentecostalism coming out. So just hold on with us for the full ride. Okay, we're going to go through all the way through this. So all you Pentecostals, don't start throwing things at me. And all you non-charismatics, come out from under your chairs and we'll just get through this together. Spiritual, this is Don Stewart. If you don't use the Blue Letter Bible app, you really should be. And Don Stewart is from the Blue Letter Bible app. He said this: spiritual gifts are either supernatural abilities that God has bestowed on individuals, or they can be God-given natural abilities that function through the direction of the Holy Spirit. Either way, whichever one they are, they're either the Holy Spirit giving us supernatural abilities, or it's the Holy Spirit breathing and directing on some natural ability that God has already put in our lives, such as the girls having this gift of inspiration. Do you know what I mean? But it's the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Now, already some of you Pentecostals are like, it's not a spiritual gift, brother. It's not in the Pentecostal list, but it is a spiritual gift. You guys didn't think that was very funny, did you, Pentecostals? You didn't laugh much. They're either supernatural abilities that God has bestowed on individuals, or it's the Holy Spirit and direction breathing through God-given natural abilities. All right? Here's a list. You don't have to, we're going to go to these, but I just wanted to show you that there's different lists when it comes in the scripture of where are these talked about. Does the Bible, is this something you just need to know when you go to church? Because we're a charismatic church, you just need to know what the gifts are. Does the Bible talk about them? It does. And so we're going to read them. And so we're going to see, are these things scriptural? So we're going to start in Romans chapter 12, verse number 6 through verse number 8. This is out of the New Living Translation. In His grace, it says this: in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, now this would be one of the Pentecostal ones. It comes out of the 1 Corinthians 12 kind of Pentecostal list. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, and here's what comes out of your mouth and life. And we're going to get to that list. But this one's included in the Romans 12 list. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, so that would be one of the first ones that we're going to talk about today. The ability to prophesy. Speak out with as much faith as God has given you. But then they jump right into this one. This is what we would think is not a Pentecostal one yet. If we're going to strip away kind of what we grew up with in church, and I'm not saying that's wrong. Please don't think, I'm not saying that's wrong. I just want to say for a moment, strip away what you think, and let's just look at the Word of God. There's a prophecy gift, which is what we think of as one of the Spirit-filled gifts, laid right in the same sentence as verse number 7. Or not same sentence, I lied. Same section. Verse number 7 says, if your gift is serving. Well, that's not a spiritual gift. But we're all supposed to serve. Yes or no? Oh, now we're getting into tricky waters. That is correct. You did not answer wrong. You're going to find that some of these things are natural expressions of a Christ-like life. They're spiritual disciplines. It's what we do. If you're a Christian, you do these things. And there are things that you do as a Christian. Anyways, I won't say that. There's things that we expect to be doing. One of, for instance, loving. Should, as Christians, should we be loving? Yes or no? Yes, everyone should love. As Christians, should we be serving? Yes or no? Okay, absolutely. So it's part of the character of Christ that's planted in us. Here's where it gets tricky. And I don't want it to be tricky, but if we're just going, if we're just trying to understand it from a teacher standpoint, the Bible doesn't spend a lot of time trying to separate these, but it does. So some of these character things are expected to be in us, in every one of us, but yet at the same time, there's a special grace of serving. Does that, am I saying that good enough? We all should be servants. We all should be, like, in 2019, I should serve better than I did in 2018. Like, if I'm growing in the Lord, I should look more like Jesus, correct? So Jesus was a servant, and he was humble. In 2019, I should be more humble than I was in 2018. I should be more focused on prayer, you know, fill in the blanks, because Jesus was. So if I'm growing in that, if I'm growing in Christ, it doesn't just mean I've memorized more verses. It means my character is changing. My nature is changing because I've got a new nature in me. That new nature is supposed to be taking dominance over my life. That spirit-led nature that is crucifying the flesh daily. So I should be more of a servant. And yet we read in this list that there is a gift of serving. So some of these character traits are actually, this isn't how it works really, but in my mind, they're condensed and kind of thrown into someone's life as like one of their gifts. So some of you guys have the gift of serving. You have this just God-given, spirit-led ability to serve well. Like it just, it's just, I walk into a kitchen or into a, what do you call it? Like when we went to Washington, D.C., we worked at a clothes store for a while and we handed out food. I walk into those scenarios and I do this. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, what's going on? Hi. And that's about all I can do. Like Alan laughs at me. I'm pathetic. He's even nodding his head. He's like, I am so clueless. Whatever the opposite of the gift of serving is, I have that one. I, like, Alan or Marnie or Steven, watching those three work is just, I'm mesmerized. I stand there and I'm like, and I really do just stand there. And it's not even that my heart doesn't want to serve. I just get, I'm like, and they're like, vacuum the floor. Okay, I'll vacuum the, and I'll work hard and I'll do it. But they can just size up a situation. They know, like, they haven't even walked in the door yet and they know the pots need to be pulled out. This needs, there's probably people that are, you know what? They're just, they know how to take care of things. I'm like, nice hat. How you doing? You know? I was just clueless. And I know you probably think I'm lazy. I mean, I'm not. I'm just paralyzed. I don't know what to do. And so if you need me to work harder in those situations, just give me a job. Tell me what to do. Then I'll do it with all my might. But I just don't see those. I don't know what should be done next. I don't know. Take a knife, scrape up the donuts. Those nasty Christians are stepping on donuts everywhere. If your gift is... If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, now, okay, this is in the list. Huh. There's a spiritual gift of teaching. Now, we went through a Chip Ingram study, and I would encourage you to do it. And he divides them up in a way that I wouldn't. But I loved it because it was different and we found out things about ourselves that we didn't know. Stephen had a phenomenal breakthrough in his life and in his ministry because of that Chip Ingram series, because they talked about it a little bit differently, and there's lots of different ways of dividing these up and making different lists and kind of finding our way through them. But all we need to know is number one, and this is the most important and really about the only thing that we need to know, they all come from the Holy Spirit. So the series is on the Holy Spirit, and it's what the Holy Spirit does in our life for others. So if your gift is teaching, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, it didn't say if your personality was to encourage others, if your mission in life is to encourage others. It said, what does it say? Verse number 8. If your what?
Gift.
Everyone say gift. There is a supernatural, spirit-breathed, God-led gift in people to lift people up and pour courage into them. It's a gift that's been underappreciated and underutilized in the Church of God, and I think it's why the Church of God stays so wounded sometimes. There's people, you little encouragers out there, man, get to work. Do your job. We love you. We need you. We desperately want you active in our churches because the world is not very encouraging, is it? And we don't live at church 24/7, do we? We are the church 24/7, but we don't live in this safe environment here. And so it's tough out there. And if you start looking at, this isn't a message on encouragement, but if we're just talking about it, you start looking through the scriptures and see how many times the word encouragement or whatever that word means, you know, exhortation is one of them. That thing that means pouring life and courage and coming alongside of someone and you can do this and hey, you know, how are you doing? Sorry you're having a bad week. You know, hey, God's got this. You know, just that it's that encouragement, that's a spiritual gift. Some of you right now, you're going, I think that might be me. It probably is. Be encouraging. If it's giving, here we got another one. If you are like Christ, if you are a Christ follower, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you should or should not be generous. Yes or no? Yes. You should be generous. How many of us? 3 of us? 10 of us? All. Who should be generous?
Everyone.
Everyone. All of us. And yet, right here in the list, you see what I mean of how it can get confusing? Who should serve? Everyone. But there's a gift of serving. Who should give? Everyone. Man, we should be known for our generosity. We should be known for meeting needs. And yet, some people have a gift of giving. I believe, I mean, I don't see this right here in Scripture, but I think you can see stories of it in Scripture. But I feel like people that have the gift of giving have a supernatural ability to acquire stuff. Because it's their gift. God always empowers the gift of God in your life. Because they're conduits. They're always giving. They're always... there, you know, you can't outgive God. Yeah, exactly. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift, wow, hold on a minute. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. There's a gift for showing kindness. Now, see if we can go through the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Wait, what? Kindness. So who should have kindness? Then what's it doing in the gift list? There's this special concentration and expression that is supernatural of origin, and it's someone has that. You might not just have a kind personality, you might have a supernatural gift of kindness. And I think some of these gifts we just don't talk about a lot in church, and yet they're desperately needed. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So that was Romans 12, 6 through 8. That was kind of a smattering of all different kinds of gifts. The next one is 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety. I love that. From his great variety of spiritual gifts. I don't know, did you guys have Christmas at your house this year? Was there a great variety of gifts under your tree? We are so blessed. I mean, it's, I don't know. I know people love to give. You know, grandparents, you guys are terrible. But there's sometimes we'll take pictures of the tree and the stuff that's spilling out, and I'm like, we shouldn't have that. Like, and I know people are giving it, but like, we shouldn't even have this much stuff. There's just gifts everywhere. And I just feel like God's saying he's got a great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Verse 11 says this. Do you have the gift of, what is it? Speaking. So speaking is a gift that's listed in our multiple place list of spiritual gifts. If you want to count You don't need to count, but if the count is somewhere between 19 and 20 that are specifically listed in this gift list. Pentecostals, which I am one of, charismatics, we like to say there's 9 gifts of the Spirit and there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm saying let's just look at the Bible for a second and see what the Bible says. And we just read another list that one of the nine is planted right in this. Do you know what I mean? So I'm saying maybe, whether you're not from a charismatic background or whether you're from a Pentecostal, but just maybe we can still learn more. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not. Never mind. We can. And it's so good to be teachable. And I'm not saying that I'm trying to change your opinion. I'm presenting where I see things at. Do you have the gift of speaking? Well, then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Well, how many Christians should help others? All. Yeah. I'm just going to give you a little clue. If I ask that question, the answer is all. Right. We all need to be helping others, and yet there's a supernatural concentration and expression in certain people that have that gift that can just help others. You just can help no matter what. You are able to help. It just doesn't, you wake up in the morning, you've helped 3 people by the time you've got your cornflakes down. You just are naturally or supernaturally good at helping people. If you have the gift of helping others, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Okay? That is our second section of scriptures. Our third section of scriptures is the famous ones. These are the glory. Okay? These are the sawdust on the ground, Pentecostal, tent revival, kind of spirit-filled kind of church. Okay? That's what these are. This is R.W. Shambaugh glory. Like, this is, okay? This is what we're talking about, filled with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Okay? That's what this list is. It's in 1 Corinthians 12. And to us Pentecostals, this is the only list of gifts, all right? There is no other list of gifts. These are the ones. We're just taking a broader view of what the Bible says about spiritual gifts today. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 says this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through a spirit a message of wisdom. Okay, what we believe a message of wisdom to be, if you're not familiar with the spiritual gifts or you've never really had anyone explain that to you, there's lots of different, depending on what flavor you come from, you're going to put a different definition on this verse. Okay, like if you're Pentecostal in your heritage, you're going to have one very clear definition of what this is. If you kind of believe that was maybe for some other time or whatever, you're going to have a different definition of what this is. Or I'm just saying there's a little flexibility in that, but we know it's the Holy Spirit in us showing us something that we did not know otherwise. Okay? And this one versus the second one, let's go to the second one and then we'll go backwards. To another, a message of knowledge. How? Just read the rest of that. By the means of the same Spirit. Okay. So verse 8, to one there is given, how? Through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. This is not talking about you being wise or a wise guy. It's talking about you having a moment where there is something implanted into your spirit or your mind or however that works inside of us that is, it wasn't there before and now it is. And the second one, we'll start with that one, it says a message of knowledge. The way that we see this played out often is in the Pentecostal world, charismatic realm, is we'll just, someone will say, hey, there's often in our services, if you want to just put it that way, worship, someone here that's got a shoulder. Is there someone here that's struggling with whatever? Like, God will just drop those things in our heart. And that's a more like public expression of it. But it can happen in our lives. You can be walking down the grocery store, and here's what, if the Holy Spirit is manifesting that gift in you, you'll be walking around down the grocery store. All you're thinking of is pizzas and ice cream and why your kids don't really deserve them tonight, okay? You guys are pretty upset at your kids, aren't you? I think you're right, they don't. Let's talk about this more. You're thinking about pizza and ice cream and your grumbly kids, and all of a sudden you go, I know that lady needs prayer for her children. Well, that was a weird thought. Let's go to get some celery. You know, like there's just, God just drops something in your heart and you have this bit of knowledge that you didn't have before. So, and it just maybe just keeps coming and you're like, okay, I guess. And so you just tap the lady on the shoulder. You're like, hey, do you want some ice cream? And it, how are, I just, this is weird. You have some kids. I don't, well, I do. Yeah. Why do you ask? Do you, are they struggling? Blah, she's crying. How did you know? Right? Or you're praying with someone. We've had this happen often, that as we're praying, it's the expressions of these come differently. We, in Pentecostal tradition, we like to feel like we have a very clear cut. When I'm going to give a word from God, it starts with, thus saith the Lord. You know what I mean? Like there's different expressions of the exact same gift. And so sometimes you could be just, you can be praying for someone. You know, you meet at church or you're on the job site or whatever, and someone's like, man, I'm really struggling. Oh, let me pray with you. God, I just pray for Billy, and Lord, I just pray, God, that you just help him to get a new truck if he needs a new truck. And he stopped. How did you know? I didn't even say nothing about a new truck. That's how Billy talks. And people that drive trucks talk. I'm just kidding. And it's just God dropping this bit of knowledge in your heart that you didn't have before. Sometimes we make the spiritual gifts, we make them all kind of like hyper mysterious and woo. And that's part of the reason you non-charismatics or from that tradition are scared of it, because we just kind of over, what do you call it, sensationalize them, when it's really just the same Holy Spirit that we agree lives inside of us, just doing what he does. Does the Holy Spirit know more about Greg's life than I do? Yes. Could the Holy Spirit just kind of drop a little, like when I'm praying for Greg, it doesn't have to be, and Greg, the Lord says to you, like it, why can't it be if I'm just praying with him, like just words come out of my mouth that I didn't, like, whoa, where'd that come from? Like it doesn't always have to be sensational. It needs to be effective. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's not trying to create a ruckus. He's trying to create a Christ-like church. So the gift of wisdom, the message of wisdom, would be the second layer of that, where it's not just something that you know, it's an application of that knowledge. It's like, I feel this is, you need, like, do you have a meeting coming up? Yeah. I feel like, whatever. And, you know, like, you just, you have this, I feel like you need to go early to that, because, I don't know, it just seems like something's just not sitting right. And, like, okay, well, that's a little weird. You go to the meeting early and you find people conspiring together to kind of shut you out of business or something. You're like, whoa, if I wouldn't have showed up early, I would have got, you know what I mean? It's this expression of maybe, and again, these are always to be measured by the Word of God. If someone tells you something like that, first thing you do is you go home and you find the Word of God. Does this line up with the Word of God? Because if someone's saying, you need to go to your meeting early and kill those people, like that's not God. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, everything has to line up with the Word of God. So that's the gift of the message of wisdom. Okay, we'll go to the third one here. Verse number 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. Who should have faith? Yeah, all of us, yep. Yet there's this supernatural expression of faith that comes. I may have had it more than once, but I know of one time that I had this gift operate in my life, and it was bizarre. Not in a like a bad way, but it was almost like you're just going, what is going on? And I feel like most of the gifts don't operate always like that, but we were in a tent meeting up in, where was that tent at in Canada? Up outside of Saskatoon, yep. Yeah, outside of Rosser, and it was in a field somewhere. It hailed so bad, there was drifts of hail over the road. There was rivers of water running. There's rivers of life, and there was rivers of actual water running through the tent. I was just starting out. I was playing guitar, you know. I was there. A couple of us were youth leaders, and I was up there. And Pastor Fearing, that bugger, was always trying to get people to do stuff, you know. And so he grabbed me. He said, "Come pray with me." So we had people come up, you know, for prayer after. It's a tent meeting. I mean, it's a Holy Ghost tent meeting. So people are up there, they've, you know, they got every kind of problem you can imagine. There's things in their body that's wrong and then, you know, desperately need healing and whatever. And so he said, come behind me and just pray behind me. I touched him and something happened. Like, I knew instantly that every single thing that we prayed for was going to be taken care of. Like, I just knew it. I started laughing. And it was out of, not because the Holy Spirit's on me, I'm laughing. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was, I was giggling because I'm like, God, this is so easy. Like, it was in that moment. I mean, you could, I don't know if he would have prayed to raise someone from the dead. I think they would have. I really do. Like, I had, so I'm praying for him as he's praying for people. And every single person that we prayed for that day got healed. Everyone. There wasn't one person that didn't get the prayers answered that day. And that's not always the case. And that only happened to me one time. And why did it happen that time? I don't know. I have no idea. But I know it did. And you can't convince me that it wasn't. Because I've never, it wasn't like in my head. And it wasn't a feeling. It was this giant knowing inside of me. I'm like, oh yeah. Oh, pray for that. Oh, that's done. Yeah, that's. And it wasn't this, I'm not going to think about it because maybe what if it doesn't happen? I knew. There was an amount of faith that I have never experienced since that. And that was a gift of, it was a gift of faith through me to those people at that moment. And that was a weird situation where it worked with two different people. Pastor was the one praying. I was the one behind him. And maybe he had, at that moment, had the gift of faith as well. All I know is I was, had my hands on Pastor and I was agreeing with all of his prayers and just God moved and God moved and God moved and God moved. We'll do one more here. And to another, gifts of healing. It's the only one that is plural. Gifts of healing. And of all the spiritual gifts, of all the gifts of the Spirit, healing is the most intriguing to people because no matter what your theology is, when you get something wrong in your body and it's terminal, you all of a sudden believe in healing. Like, you're, well, it can't hurt. You know, even if you didn't think God did that kind of stuff, when something happens, you're like, maybe we'll just cover all of our bases and get prayer to, you know what I mean? You're just like, I think maybe that, but it's tricky. Like in the Bible, even, why did some people get healed and some people didn't? Like healing is just, it's just frustrating. It's really hard to understand. It's complicated. It's complicated. It's not you, it's me. It's complicated. And yet at the same time, who should be getting prayer for healing? All of us. There's, you know, if any of you is sick, call the elders. They'll anoint you with oil. And that's the elders. It doesn't say that every elder will have the gift of healing. So there's this common expression of healing that God does, and then there's also gifts of healing that work specifically in people. We're going to stop here today because we won't get anywhere close to getting through the rest of them. But next time we'll go through the rest of the list and answer a few more of those questions. But it's really interesting. And if we can all just come together and go, okay, we want God to do what God wants to do. And we want to be a part of that. And I like our lists, but sometimes things happen that doesn't fit in our list. You know, like we like to have all our ducks in a row as Christians. That's why there's somewhere around 33 or 35,000 denominations in the world. It's because every one of them wants to know that we have this figured out. And I'm not even saying that that's terribly wrong. It's just part of our human nature. Like we want to know for sure that this is really how it's supposed to be. But at the same time, God's always going to be a little bit mysterious. He's always going to do things his way. So if you can just think of it as we just want the Holy Spirit to do his work, it does not have to be tent meeting, sensational kind of revival preacher kind of stuff. It's just God doing what God does. And I think that sets a lot of people at ease knowing that the spiritual gifts is just God being God through his church. It's being God through his church. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit comes and does his working through us, these are just different lists of them, and we'll explain more about it later, but it's just God showing up and doing his work through us. Sometimes that looks like helping someone. Sometimes it looks like serving. Sometimes it looks like teaching. Sometimes it looks like a prophecy, a word from God. Sometimes it looks like you knowing something that you have no humanly possible way to know. And it opens it. It's a key to unlock someone's heart that was all wrapped up in fear or in anger or bitterness and unforgiveness. But you come with a word of knowledge, and it's not to condemn them, or it's just, hey, did you have a little puppy named Joe when you were little? How did you know that? It's not so that I get my own TV show now so that I can, do you know what I mean? It's so that God in that moment does a sign and a wonder, and that person who was captivated in bitterness or in unbelief goes, how did you know that? It was just the Holy Spirit. I don't know anything about your puppy, Joe, but I know God knows you. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you why he's the reason we exist. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Does that make sense? It's the Holy Spirit's expression of just working through us. And it looks like real life sometimes.